We must assure our farmers of expanded export markets. You and I know that task will not be easy. And that's why we need a president. And we're going to need a Secretary of Agriculture who will work with the farmers and who will work with Congress, who will listen to the spokesmen of the farm cooperatives and of the farm organizations. We need a president who understands that the prosperity of agriculture is the best way to provide jobs for those willing to work and prosperity for the entire economy. And frankly, friends, there is such a man. He's here with us today, the leader who will bring a new start, not for just rural Americans, but for all Americans, a man who has a sense of vision, who feels the heartbeat and understands the feelings of the American people. And it's my high honor, and I am very proud on this occasion, to present to this great audience the man who I am confident will be the next president of the United States, Governor Jimmy Carter of Georgia, our man.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. So my good friend Senator Humphrey and my running mate Chris Mondale and to Governor Wendell Anderson and all the other dignitaries, and to the people of Minnesota and Iowa and several other states around, I want to thank you for letting me come and meet with this tremendous crowd. Wendell Anderson said there was a law among politicians in Minnesota that you don't have to follow Hubert Humphrey making a speech. And I'm going to violate that law this morning, but I hope you'll bear with me. I'm glad to be here in an area which has such great and rich soil. For someone who's been a farmer all my life, it's a thrilling thing to see the beauty of your land, the depth of your topsoil, and the richness of it. We could use your black topsoil for fertilizer in Georgia. And as a matter of fact, I'm taking home a pretty good supply of it on my shoes. And I thank you for that. My family has lived in Georgia now for almost 210 years. We've all been farmers. And we've lived most of our time in a small town of Plains, Georgia. My first elective office was Secretary of the Plains High School Future Farmers of America. And I'm still a lifetime member of the FFA. And part of my consciousness, part of my life, is in rural America, no matter where I am. We grow different crops from you. My main crop is peanuts. But we also grow a lot of wheat in Georgia. We grow a lot of corn, a lot of soybeans, a lot of milk, and we also have a lot in common with you. I think sometimes, though, the Minnesota people are kind of greedy. It's not fair for one state to have Miss Teenage America, Miss America, and Miss USA all in the same year. That's just not fair. You ought to do something about it. But that's one reason I'm glad to come here. And looking out into the crowd, I can see you got a lot of candidates for next year. Georgia and the South are going to already have to get on the ball to equal you in beauty, not only of land, but of women. It's also good to come here as a farmer to a state that is in the top 10 in our nation in the production of hogs, cattle, soybeans, corn, and wheat. It's very important for us to see at first hand the tremendous nature of agriculture throughout our country and what it means to us. Now, sometimes farmers are inclined to exaggerate. You in Minnesota don't have to exaggerate. I was at my brother's filling station in Plains a week or so ago, and people were arguing about who had caught the largest fish. One of the farmers finally won the contest. He said he was fishing in a mill pond, and he caught a fish so big that the wave went back up in the mill house and unground 7.5 bushels of meal. Well, I don't know if you got fish that big in Minnesota, but I think you've got farmers that exaggerate. This year, we don't have to exaggerate the problems in agriculture. You have a state here that's made up of farmers who believe in working together. If there's one characteristic of Minnesota farmers that stands out above all else, it's your willingness to work together with farm cooperatives. Now, that's an important distinction. It means that you believe in managing your own affairs, standing on your own feet, cooperating with your neighbors, sharing setbacks, sharing prosperity, also understanding one another and shifting from times of setback and hardship with hope and aspiration and confidence toward times of betterment for agriculture and for your families. This year you're suffering the greatest drought perhaps since 1934. The estimates in Minnesota are that you'll lose $1.5 billion in income because of slight rainfall. This is exactly the time when we need to have that cooperative attitude between farmers on the one hand and our own federal government, the White House, the Department of Agriculture on the other. But that's not the way the Republicans look at a deal. In times when you need it most, it's a time when they're hardest to find. And not only this year, but already next year, Mr. Butts has announced that the 23 counties in your state that have the worst disaster cannot even qualify for crop insurance for next year. Is that the way our own government ought to treat farm families that have been hurt? No, absolutely not. We always need strong leadership, but we need leadership derived from people, from you. We need a government that's controlled by us and not the other way around. We need a government that's open to our ideas, to our suggestions, to our requests when they are legitimate. I've never met a farmer who wanted a handout. I've never met a farmer who wanted to go on welfare. I've never met a farmer that wanted a government to guarantee a profit. But we don't want to be treated fairly. We want to have an agriculture policy that meets our needs, and we want to be guaranteed a marketplace competition that doesn't rob us every time we turn around. Now, farmers always have to ask people who buy our crops, how much will you pay me? And when farmers buy anything, a tractor or anything else, we always have to ask, how much are you going to charge me? This puts us in a vulnerable position if we don't stick together. But under this administration, and it's historically the case, farmers are excluded from the process of making decisions in our country. We're now exporting about $22 billion worth of farm products every year. But we don't have any assurance that that's going to continue. In the last 3 years, we've had 4 embargoes under the Republican administration, of Ford, Nixon, and Butts. None of those embargoes was necessary. They all robbed you. They also robbed, in the long run, our own American consumers. The average farm family has an investment now in land, equipment, buildings of about $300,000. The average income from that investment is only 3 or 4%. Now, we could sell our farms, invest our money in savings and loans for 5% interest, and make twice as much income without lifting our hand to work. But farmers believe in work, and so do I. I believe that anybody that's able to work ought to work, and also ought to have a chance to work. And we're going to change that next January and let that be the philosophy of our country once again. It's not right when farmers are going bankrupt growing food that the consumers cannot afford to buy. And that's going to change next January, too, when we have a president in the White House who understands the problem of farm families. In rural America, where I grew up and where I live, and where you grew up and where you live, we have maintained the basic values in our country, and also the basic values in our government. We believe that people ought to control government and not the other way around. We believe that when there's a choice to be made between the government doing a function and letting our private families, industry, do it, we ought to go with the private sector. We believe that we ought to have a minimum of government secrecy and a maximum of personal privacy. We believe, as we do on the farm, that budgets ought to be balanced. All the time I was living on the farm, I never worked with an unbalanced budget. When I started my warehouse business to gin cotton and to produce seed peanuts, my budget was always balanced. When I went to the governor's office for Georgia, 4 years, we had a balanced budget. When I become president, one of my major goals is to have a balanced budget for our United States government before my term is over, and Fritz Von Dale and I say you can depend on that too. I understand a couple of days ago that our Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Butts, came to the Farm Fest to make a speech. I understand there were only about a couple hundred people listening to him. He couldn't draw that big a crowd in Georgia. But one of the things that he said was that everywhere I've been in this country, I promised to fire him if I got to be president. And he predicted that when I came here today, that I was going to make the same promise. This will be the first prediction that Mr. Butts has ever had right. Earl Butts and I met a couple months ago in Washington at the Gridiron Banquet. And he said, Governor, why is it that everywhere you go, you always tell people you're going to fire me? And I said, well, I promise, first of all, to tell the truth. Secondly, it gets more applause than anything else I say, no matter where I am. And third, the farmers have been kind of discouraged lately with the Republican administration. And it's one thing to give them hope for next year, knowing that you'll be gone. And I think we've got to have, not only in the White House, but in the Secretary's office, a person who can convince the American people the truth, that what's best for the family farmer in our nation is exactly what's best for the consumer. We need a farm policy that's predictable. When I grow certified seed, I need to know at least 15 months ahead of time what our acreage allotments, basic price supports, export policy, import policy, reserve supplies are going to be. Beef cattle farmers need to know 30 months ahead of time. We have no predictability now about what's going to be done next in our nation's agricultural program. We need to have maximum production, yes, but we also need to have maximum exports. We now export in our nation 60% of all our wheat, 50% of all our soybeans, 50% of all our rice, 25% of all our corn, and so forth. We need to have stable export policies so that our overseas purchasers can have confidence in us. We don't have that. We need it. We also need to have basic price support levels equal to production costs. Now, although I am a farmer, I'm not in favor of guaranteeing farmers a profit. But I am in favor of giving farmers an equal break. And it would help the consumers as well in this nation to know that they can have a guarantee of stability in production, stability in prices, maximum exports because that makes their prices lower, and then have some relationship between agriculture and consumers and the Secretary of Agriculture that's been missing ever since Mr. Butts has been in office. There's no reason for us to have 4 embargoes in 3 years. We can do without those, and beginning next January, they're going to be done away with unless we have an absolute catastrophe, which I don't believe the American farmers will ever have come on our nation. You can depend on that as well. I want to comment just a minute about the drought. Obviously, a president or a secretary of agriculture can't prevent a drought. But we've had a tragic lack of leadership in this country, in Washington, as this region of our nation has had its worst drought since the Hoover Depression years. We've had dozens of counties in Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, and other states that have been afflicted by this terrible drought. What has the administration done to help you? Absolutely nothing. There's no way to approach them. Has our Secretary of Agriculture been visiting farm families, going from one community to another, and saying, what can we do to help you over this crisis? Absolutely not. Can you approach them and say, would you listen to our problem? Can you help us with our insurance program? Absolutely not. The bureaucratic obstacles that have been placed in the way of even emergency livestock loans make it impossible for farmers to get help. This administration has cut the heart out of our soil conservation program. We have a cynical gap between the rhetoric of the Ford Butts administration compared to their record in helping farmers. It's a consistent pattern. It's been going on a long time. Monday morning, I made a speech in Warm Springs, Georgia, which was the second home of Franklin Roosevelt. And I thought back on those Depression years under Hoover, when Roosevelt understood working people and understood farm families. He knew that we needed rural electrification. The Republicans opposed it. After a hot fight, it was finally passed by the Democrats. Franklin Roosevelt initiated a good soil conservation program. It was opposed by the Republicans. It was finally passed. Franklin Roosevelt knew that we needed a minimum wage law that would pay decent wages to adults who had to work with their hands. He put forward a 25-cent an hour minimum wage proposal. There were 95% of Republican congressmen that voted against paying an able-bodied man or woman 25 cents an hour for work. He thought we needed some security in our old age, and he proposed Social Security. There were 95 Republicans in the House. 94 of them voted against Social Security. This pattern has been continued down through the years, through Truman helping farmers, Nixon working against them, through Roosevelt, Johnson, Kennedy, all having their political strength derived from working people. But ever since McKinley, ever since Coolidge, ever since Hoover, all the way through Nixon, and now Ford and Butt, the working people of this country have been forgotten. The 1972 Rural Development Act was passed by Herman Talmadge from my state and Hubert Humphrey from yours. This Republican administration has done everything it could to impound funds and to block the implementation of an act that would give our people and our children a chance in life. Let me just give you a few records of the last 8 years. Interest rates have gone up 50%. Unemployment has gone up 100%. Inflation has gone up 200%. The federal deficits have gone up 600%. That's the kind of leadership that we've had from the Republican administration, and I believe that we need to change it. Now, I owe special interest nothing. I owe the people everything, and I'm going to keep it that way if you'll help me. I come here to ask you for your help, to express my thanks to you for the great leadership that you provided this country, to thank you for providing one of the finest running mates that anybody could possibly have in Fritz Mondale, for making me feel welcome every time I've been to Minnesota. I'm glad to come here. It's a great thrill to see this tremendous crowd on these hills on this beautiful farm. We need your help. The election is not a sure thing. It's very difficult for an outsider to defeat an incumbent president with a unified party. I believe, though, that we can do it with hard work and staying close to you. How many of you in this audience think it's time for a change in Washington? Great. If you will help me and Fritz Mondale between now and November the 2nd, then we'll help you beginning January the 20th to change our government in Washington, to make it understand the problems of farm families, to restore the precious things we've lost, and to give us assurance throughout the nation that we still live in the greatest nation on earth, the United States of America. Thank you very much. God bless all of you. Help us and we'll win.
Governor Jimmy Carter, the Democratic candidate for president, delivering a farm speech here at Farm Fest in Minnesota at Lake Crystal. Now it's back to the Mankato Airport in just a few moments. There'll be probably a little more handshaking. The candidate did move out among the crowd here at Farm Fest for a while before he came to the platform to give his speech. It's wheels up for the Twin Cities. Then $1,000 a person reception at the Sheraton Timbers, and then Carter leaves for the airport, leaves by air. The vice presidential candidate, Minnesota Senator Walter Mondale, then goes to the Thunderbird Motel for a fundraiser for a bunch of Minnesota candidates, and he'll take off later for Chicago. So that's the story from this point at Farm Fest. Harv Johnson, WCCO Radio, government correspondent.